Right now, we're joined by Pam Heminger, the mayor of Chapel Hill. How are you?
I'm good. A little wet, but good.
A little wet, yeah. I was looking at the radar, and I said, I was doing the weather report a couple of seconds ago, and like, well, it looks like there's a tiny little spot of Chapel Hill that's rain-free. Pam's sitting here shaking her head, like, no, the whole town. There is one tiny little spot in southern Chapel Hill. The radar says, I'm looking at it.
Oh, they're probably soggy.
The radar might be lying to me. It's lied before, but it is kind of a soggy day. But and you did a walking tour earlier
this morning.
Right?
It wasn't raining this morning. We were over in the north side neighborhood, seeing the western part of the neighborhood, walking around, looking at some of the projects that Self-Help Credit Union's been involved in, the Jackson Center, who's been wonderfully helpful in connecting people and families and organizations and been there, and Habitat's getting ready to start a project there in November with 8 houses, maybe more. Very excited about that, just seeing how that neighborhood is coming back in to a mix of more families coming in and fixing some of these homes up to be better for more families.
Are we making progress on that? Because I know there was that period of crisis there about maybe 5 years ago-ish where like it was just really getting nothing but students. And now
it's
really
coming back. Yeah,
back
it's been this wonderful loan from UNC and the Self-Help Credit Union and the town's pool, affordable housing pool of monies, and the Jackson Center, and there's a couple other groups, Empowerment, I don't want to leave anybody, but CASA, everybody, there's all
You're
kinds.
You're going to leave someone out.
No,
list is
it's
a
such
mile
a great,
long
it's a great, what a wonderful problem to have. Too many people to list. They really are turning this neighborhood around. It's wonderful, and I know at Habitat, we had a long list of people who wanted to apply for having homes in there, people who used to live in the neighborhood, people who still are renting in the neighborhood and want better housing, and it's just been a great community effort. So
where are the students going? I know there's Shortbread across the street and
right.
Lux on MLK.
And
is
then
that...
the graduates being built,
right,
and then
right.
there's some other, the Lux apartments came online
yep.
this year,
MLK,
and then
yep.
the Glen, the Grove, whatever that one's being called
yeah.
now, is under development there. And you know what? There were over 800 empty dorm beds on campus, so
yeah.
There's room for students. We're
yeah.
not, you know, there's plenty of room, but the neighborhood wants that feel again of coming back to being in a mix of family and students. We're not trying to push all the students out, just a better mix now.
That's the really shocking thing to me is that, and I've heard about this, like the empty beds in dorms on campus, that it's not just Chapel Hill. Like this is a thing all over the country where students just don't want to live in dorms anymore.
And I think it's not that they don't want to live on dorms, because I think students would prefer to live on campus.
On campus, yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
They just want some different amenities. And I've
right.
seen, you know, I've had children go to schools in different places, and I've seen college campuses really struggle with building or retrofitting spaces to be more, I won't say compete, with off campus, but to be more what students would like to have.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a change, and it's a big expense. So universities have to make the decision on how they're going to handle that, how they're going to keep students on campus, because it's twofold for them. They'd like to have the students stay on campus for that connectivity to the experience,
yeah.
and having them use the gym space and the cafeterias and be connected to the university and events, and also because financially, it's something that they have to cover. So UNC is tearing down Odom Village this summer,
mm-hmm.
and that's about 400 beds, so there'll
right.
be some integration and some refilling, and I don't know that they've completely decided that's part of their master plan, how to deal with all the student housing situations.
All right, so the North Side walking tour was today. Also today, the Cramden Institute
The Cramden Institute
class.
Graduated another class of people who are learning how to be computer literate and access the internet, fill out job applications and search for jobs on the internet, and even do Facebook, all those kinds of things that keep connected.
And these connected. Are in Chapel Hill's public housing communities,
right? Chapel Hill's public housing communities. And if you go through the training, you get a free laptop through the Camp Cramden Institute. And it's wonderful. It was a wonderful group of students today, mostly women, which was fun. Mothers who brought their kids along, too, which was fun. And it just was it's a neat feeling. They're excited. We're excited for them. That's opened up new doors and new avenues for people to have this. So we ask anybody interested in to apply for this. We have room in our classes to take. There's another session coming up shortly. Contact your public housing
yeah.
official, whoever's in charge of that. Today is also the National Day of Prayer.
Mm-hmm.
I was over on UNC campus. It had to move from the flagpole to the bell tower so we wouldn't get soaked.
Right.
But it was a wonderful event, and people very uplifting, encouraging, and hopeful for our state to heal from the HB2, to become, you know, to be that, embrace that diversity that we love here in Chapel Hill, but we're hopeful that the whole state and our state leaders will start seeing diversity as a strength instead of something to be scared of.
Yeah. And also, I think just listening to each other is a key. I know I've been and you've been, and 90% of the people in Chapel Hill have been very strongly outspoken on one particular side of this issue. But former Governor Jim Martin had that piece that he posted online, I think earlier this week, about just sit down and listen to each other as part of the process, as opposed to this immediate gut reaction, which is what's gotten us into part of this mess in the first place.
Oh, they passed that bill so quickly. They didn't listen to anything. So I'm very proud of our federal government for saying, you know, that's really against the intention of the civil rights. Yeah, let's not. I'm hopeful that the federal government will come back with other lawsuits and other decisions about the rest of the parts of this bill. Maybe our state legislature will repeal it before that has to happen, but I'm very hopeful that the federal government will help us in North Carolina be part of what the overall nation is moving towards, which is more inclusivity and less fear-mongering.
Absolutely. So, we're speaking with Pam Heminger, Chapel Hill mayor, and all of those things that we're talking about, that we've been talking about, all happened today. Earlier this week, there was a meeting for, I know a couple of members of the press were there. Blake Hodge was there to talk about this summer program that I know you've been excited about since day one.
Yes,
to figure out a way to get food to kids who are on free and reduced lunch during the year and don't get that during the summer.
Correct.
And that makes it really difficult for families.
All the state cutbacks. There's very little summer school going on, only for grades 1 through 3 this year and only for 3 weeks. And this is the longest summer we're going to probably ever have because of the state calendar and the way it's mandated. It's a very long summer. So we're excited. All these groups are at the table working together. The state is there helping us figuring out, because the funding is there to produce the food, and the school system nutritionists, she's delightful. Liz is wonderful and wants to make the food and can make the food. The problem is just distributing the food. We have a website. If you want to go check it out, please do. You can. We're going to come back with dates and times that people can help. This will start on June 13th, and we need volunteers to start around 11 to 11:30 in the morning to 1 every day. You don't have to do every day. You can pick and choose days when we get the sign up out there to actually physically take this food from the school where it's made to the communities. We have 20 sites we're aiming for. We hired a coordinator. She's wonderful. Katie Hug. Isn't that a great name for a person?
That's a perfect name, yeah.
She's actually great. And this is a pilot program that we're hopeful can be replicated across the state, but the goal is to feed the kids. And there's 3,300. We're not sure we can handle. We can't make everyone this summer, but the goal is to get to everyone. But it's a wonderful collaborative spirit, and people have the answers. These groups know how to figure out, and very excited. In fact, I'm leaving here and going to the Nonprofit Alliance afterwards to talk about it. So, we have wonderful community members here who make good things happen, and just pulling everyone together to make this happen is the goal.
That's really cool. So the website where people can go, and I know
sign-up's
not up yet, right?
You can leave us your email address and information, and we will send back out the blast when the sign-up genius is ready to go for people to sign up for the spots. We'll also be looking for some donations to help run this program and some site coordinators. So we're trying to get that all worked out as well.
Sorry, I talked over the top of you. You were trying to give the website. What's the website again?
Food for the Summer.
Foodforthesummer.com?
.org, I believe. It's hosted at the IFC.
Keep talking, I'm looking it up.
Thank you. We just got the meeting yesterday, so I don't have it all memorized yet. It's being hosted through the IFC website, Katie will actually be there, and she's been coordinating with some wonderful IFC staff to make this all happen, and the website's being upgraded daily right now. She just started 4 days ago, and she graduates on Saturday, so she's a little busy.
Wow.
No, it'll be good.
This is a good week to start a major initiative like that. Like, I got graduation in 3 days. I'm good. This is an easy week. There's nothing on my calendar at all. Okay, so it's foodforthesummer.org. There it is. That's an adorable picture, by the
Isn't
way,
that
on
fun?
The website.
All
That's
those
really
smiles.
Cute.
Look at those smiles. Isn't that great?
All right, foodforthesummer.org is the website, so go there. And when will people be able to sign up?
We're hopeful in about a week that we'll have. They said by Sunday. I'm going to give them a whole nother week. They're really trying to push this. So we've been working on this since January, so it's not like like it just happened. It's taken a while to figure out the plan and put the pieces together for the plan and get everyone to give that input to help us make it a better and successful project this summer.
That's really cool. So June 13th is when the distribution begins.
Yes.
So when you go to the website and sign up, when the sign up is open, June 13th is the start day, and then it goes for the summer. Right?
It goes for the summer, and we're hopeful that we'll get some high school kids looking for those service learning hours to be involved with that. We'll pair them up with another adult, but we want to involve anybody who wants to help. We want to be able to get them an opportunity to do so.
Awesome. Pam Heminger, Chapel Hill Mayor, we got to let you go in a second, but before we do, anything else?
We had our community cemetery meeting about the marker, the historical marker for the cemetery over on the edge of between campus and town, and it was a really good attendance, and people had some great ideas, and the community had already been working on connecting to family members who have family members buried there, and some words that will be inscribed, and a celebration that will be in September. We're aiming for September 18th, which is a Sunday in the afternoon. We'll invite anyone that wants to come. We'll be welcome to come. We're looking for inscriptions, though, that are inspirational, and they had several from George Moses Horton, who was a famous poet back in the day.
Yep, yep.
I'm getting to learn all this stuff. It's wonderful. So the next meeting will be, if you're interested in helping plan the program, they're going to meet May 15th at 3:30 at Hargraves. You can contact our office. We can help you with that if you want to be involved with that. So it's really good. And tomorrow morning, we're meeting again about economic sustainability. And then we had our work session on affordable housing and the fire station plan. Lots of good things. We're starting budget season on Monday. So
nice.
If you're interested in the budget, come on down.
All right. Chapel Hill Mayor Pam Heminger, thank you so much.
Thank you.